Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska on Big Cabbage Radio.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Ag Matters. I'm your host, Ken Hoffman. I'm a farmer out here in Palmer, and I'm also the executive director of the Mat-Su Farm Bureau. If you're interested in joining us, group of farmers, you can always email me at matsufarmbureau@gmail.com, or you could visit our website at alaskafb.org. So today's guest is a friend of mine, Paul Cook with Northern Lights Elk Ranch. We met a couple years ago at the Friday Fling, and so I'm really excited to have him on today. And so, Paul, if you could get started with, you know, how you ended up in Alaska, how you begun your journey down to agriculture, how you came across the Elk Ranch. If you could just get started with that, that'd be great.
Will do, Ken. Thank you. Appreciate being here today. We have been up here, I think March was full-time 4 years. My wife and I owned a painting business, actually, in Illinois. I am 67 and just retired full-time in September. Anyway, we were looking for, you know, what's the next chapter of our life going to look like. Our daughter works up here as an OBGYN, and, of course, we have two grandkids and want to be close to them. So we started looking for land or a house, you know, in the area, and came across a listing for this Elk Ranch, which was real curious. So that went on and off. I think it was on the market and off the market. Anyway, we finally was on the market again. We negotiated with the past owner, who did a great job here, Delbert Seminio, and we bought the Elk Ranch 4 years ago in March.
Exciting stuff. Where is the Elk Ranch located, and how many acres is it?
We have 315 acres, and we are off of, it's on Russet Road, which is off of Edgerton Parks Road. So on your way to Hatcher Pass, if you're coming down Palmer Fishhook, and you'll go by Wasilla Fishhook on your left, and then Edgerton Parks would be the next road down. So we're right at the base of the mountains out here.
Okay, cool. How many elk do you have, and do you sell them for meat or antlers? What is... How do you make a profit with the Elk Ranch?
Yeah, well, that's the tough part, right? But we have 77 elk, and soon to be more. Babies are being born as we speak. Right now, they're in birthing, and usually they'll have the calves up in the woods, and we won't see them for a few days. But we can hear the noise, you know, the cows are birthing. So we're looking forward to that. And we sell hunts, first of all, and that's mostly for the big bulls. People want to come out and do a hunt on the ranch. We're all set up to do that. We even have a hunter's cabin if they wanted to spend the night. You know, it is, we have, it's a large place. Our hunt pen is 125 acres. So it can be a challenge because the elk do move around. But it's for, maybe for someone who can't climb mountains anymore or wants that, never got that trophy bull and wants a trophy bull. So we have elk hunts. We sell elk meat by the quarter. You can buy that on our website. You can put down a deposit. And we sell quarters in the fall. We usually harvest in the October, November time. And those usually sell out. So it's a good thing to get ahead of that if you are interested in elk meat, one of the healthiest meats for you. Antlers, yeah, we typically will cut those up and sell them as dog treats. And people love them. They're very healthy. They don't splinter. They just chew down to nothing. So the dogs love them. So we sell the antlers. We cut them up. And that's how I met you at the Friday Fling. You know, we were selling those there. And we can also sell them at other events.
So how is elk ranching compared to other like forms of ranching, like cattle ranching or reindeer? Did you do any of that down in Illinois, or are you doing any cows or reindeer or anything up at the elk ranch?
You know, did not do any of this before. So we're newbies and we're learning. Thought about reindeer. I guess there's a large demand, you know, for reindeer meat. So that's something we're thinking of. But what's nice about the elk is they don't require a lot. You know, it's not like you have to go out in the middle of the night and there's a calf stuck, you know, and you have to help it, you know, the cow give birth. We just make sure they're fed in the winter. We have plenty of grazing here. 9 out of 11 of our pastures have water here. So they're pretty much hands off. They're, you know, they're fairly low maintenance here.
Wow. So what is the history of the Elk Ranch? You guys started about 4 years ago, I think. But how did the elk get up here in the first place?
Yeah, well, and, you know, this is... ag land, designated as ag land by the borough, and I think in the 70s they had some sales of the ag land. Delbert Seminio, the past owner, bought this in 97, I believe. So he started the elk herd here, and he ran it until we bought this in 21. They did a lot of work here. There was some pasture cleared, but they cleared quite a bit more. They put up, I believe there's a total of 7 miles of fence here. We just had our state fence inspection last year, so I know all about that. We had to go around, do some work, make sure it was looking good and secure. You know, that is sort of the history. I know they did some AI, artificial insemination, to help the genetics of the herd and a number of years ago. And again, we're just learning as we go, but my son-in-law helps. My son helps, you know, as far as feeding them or, you know, doing the hunts and that kind of thing.
Wow. So you're talking about fencing. Is it all 300 acres that are fenced? And also, how tall is the fence? And what other infrastructure do you have? Do the elks require a barn or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, the fence is 8 feet tall. Again, we have 11 pastures. So it encompasses most of the ranch. There's where like the house is, called the ranch headquarters, and that's not fenced in. But all the other areas are. As far as there is a barn, a sorting barn, you know, when you want to sort the elk and tag them, you're going to run them through that barn. Otherwise, you know, again, not a lot of infrastructure for them. They're fine out in the winter. They get through the toughest winters. They're very hardy that way.
Wow. So it sounds like the herd is fairly wild. There's not a lot of contact between you and the elk herd.
Yeah, they're fairly wild. You know, some are a little more friendly than others. We never had a bad issue with one being super aggressive. I know the past owner, Delbert, did, which charged and rammed the ATV, but we haven't had that. Of course, when you're bringing food out, they know that, so they'll gather, but if you step out of the skid steer or whatever, you're bringing the food out, then they'll scatter, you know. So, and then, of course, in hunting season, they get very spooky, and they keep their distance at that time.
Okay. So how many bulls and how many cows do you have?
We have 24 bulls, cows and last year's calves, 53, one of those is a bull. I think we have 38 cows and 15 calves, and soon to be about 15 more.
Wow. Is your herd growing? And like, is there more and more elk joining your herd every year, or is it about the same size herd because of the harvesting?
It has grown. Yeah, we wanted to grow it. When we bought, it was 59 right before calving, and now we're at 77. And we're sort of maxed out at that size, unless we wanted to, you know, buy a lot more hay. We have to buy hay for the winter. But with the pasture land we have, we want to make sure we're not overgrazing that. We do rotate them, you know, between pastures and so forth. But after calving, we'll have, what, 90, 95? So they're pretty much maxed out on the area we have, you know, prepared for them right now.
How many are you harvesting every year?
We like to do, I'd say, average 4 hunts. So anywhere, you know, 4 or 5 hunts. And then last year, I believe we harvested six animals for quarters. And we'll probably do a little more this year again because we don't want to get that herd too big. We'll probably harvest a few more, maybe up to, you know, 12 to 15 this year.
Wow. Okay. So how many other animals do you have? I know you guys don't just farm elk, but you also farm chicken. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Well, we have layers, and we have right now about 40 layers giving us 16 dozen eggs a week. They're in their mobile chicken coop that we pull around every couple of days, so they get on fresh grass. And they fertilize the soil, which is great. And then our meat birds, the busy time of year. So we got a week and a half ago, we got 200 chicks was our first shipment. We'll get another shipment in a few weeks. They are still in the brooders. In a couple of weeks, they'll go out in the pasture. You know, we have those mobile chicken tractors. Again, we move those every day to fresh grass. And then you got to keep them watered and they get a little supplemental feed. We're doing something different with them this year. We have our regular feed for one batch, and then another batch is all going to be no corn, no soy, because we've been getting demands for that. Although they get grass, it's not enough, you know, food for them. So we supplement that with some feed. And so we have the chickens going, and then we have turkey. This week we'll be getting 110 turkeys, and we'll be raising those. Same concept. They go in the brooder. Turkeys are about 6 weeks in the brooder. Then they're out on pasture in a big electric fenced area. And we have what we call the turkey mobile we put in there, and they can all roost on there at night. And again, we move that every few days to fresh grass for them.
Wow. Do you guys harvest all of the animals yourself, butcher them yourself, or do you have a professional butcher that you guys take them to?
Oh, good question. Well, the poultry we harvest ourselves. We got the dunk tank and the plucker and all the equipment, which really helps you be more efficient. So we do that ourselves. elk, we field dress them, or we help the hunter field dress them. And then usually we take them to Bear Mountain Meat is where we did last year. They did a great job for us. So it's up to the customer. If you buy a quarter, you can process it yourself, or we can drop it off at, you know, Bear Mountain for you. We've had people do both.
Okay. So where can you purchase your elk meat? You said, is it just off your website, or is it stocked at other stores?
No, we don't cut it into individual cuts. That would require a USDA process. And we haven't got there yet. We'd like to at some point, because some people don't want a whole quarter. But right now, you can just go on our website and buy a quarter. Some people share them with another family, and then you just tell, you know, the butcher how you want that cut, if you want sausage made, all sorts of options for you there.
Okay. What about the poultry, the chicken or the turkey?
We just sell those whole. The chicken, you know, we process them. If people wanted to pick them up fresh, because then some people like to part them out themselves, they can do that. We just have to coordinate on, you know, processing day. And then we freeze the rest, and you can pick them up frozen. That's how we sell them at markets as well. And then the turkey, most people would just get it frozen. A couple people want them fresh. And again, we just have to coordinate on processing day, and we can make that happen for the customer.
Okay, cool. Are you going to be at any farmers markets this year? I remember a couple of years ago I saw you in Anchorage at the Midtown Farmers Market. But do you guys have any plans for Friday Fling or other farmers markets this summer?
Well, not Friday Fling. I think we'll probably go to Midtown again. It's sort of, you know, so we had to get a different breed. The Cornish cross chickens we usually get for meat birds were like sold out everywhere. I think because of the bird flu and, you know, egg prices and chicken prices, everyone was buying early this year. They didn't want to be without. So we got a breed called Pioneer Cross, and those take 9 or 10 weeks, but it's our first year with them. So we're going to see how they grow. And the weather is weather dependent. You know, if it's cooler, they'll grow a little slower. So once we figure out processing dates, then I'll talk to, you know, the Midtown market and hopefully set up some nice market days. That's a great market. We get a great crowd there. It works out really well.
Wow, excellent. Is this chicken breed, say, more heritage than a Cornish cross? So like tougher but slower growing, or is it really similar to a Cornish?
I have not heard they're tougher. I've heard they have great reviews on the taste and the flavor. They just grow a little slower. The Cornish cross is sometimes they grow so fast. I mean, it's amazing on one hand, and it's a little, wow, crazy on the other, how fast they grow. But I heard, you know, they're not tougher. They're just going to be a very good tasting meat bird.
Excellent. I had Cornish cross hens once before, but we kept them in a pen. They weren't out on grass like yours. And so they grew so fast that their legs broke beneath them. So they would just kind of hobble to the food bowl and live there for the rest of their life. It was really sad.
I know. You got to be careful you don't overfeed them. Because one year we fed them a little too aggressively and they got too big.
Yeah.
So we just got to monitor, you know, how much you're feeding them, and that, you know, keep track of that every week as it goes up.
Exactly. What breed of turkey do you guys have? Is it heritage, or is it those white ones?
Yeah, we have the white-breasted, name is Safety Right Hand. But, you know, the typical white-breasted ones you would get. Again, they grow, I think, a little bigger. They're more the, you know, the type of turkey you'd find at the store, you know, except we grow ours on grass, and I think they're a lot better for you that way. So, no, we did not do the heritage this year.
Yeah. I tried the heritage one year, and they flew away. So they're tough to keep in the pen.
These guys fly, but they can't fly that far. So
exactly. All right. So the elk, I want to go back to the elk. I know that there's a lot of regulations on reindeer. Not everybody can own a reindeer, but can everybody own an elk if they wanted to? Or would you not recommend that?
Well, you would have to get registered with the state and be licensed to do that, of course, which we've done. And then you'd have to, that includes having the proper fencing facility.
Okay. So like the 8-foot fence, you were saying?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, you need enough acreage, you know, even one elk, you know, you have to have it a decent size, because eventually they're just going to eat the grass down and it become like a mud pit, right? So we have enough acreage where we can rotate them and they're on fresh grass. And it's not like a feedlot, right? You might see with cattle, right? They're out in the open and they're, you know, as natural as we can make it here. That's how they have it. Not to be, you know, I guess someone could, but they'd have to check with the state on the exact rules and if that's possible or not.
Yeah. Do they eat a lot of browse, or do they just graze?
They eat some of both, you know. They can be, depending on the time of year, in the winter, you know, we'll put out hay for them, and that's about all they might find. But in the summer, they'll like some grasses over others, and they like some of the, you know, the tree stems and that kind of thing too. So they get a good mixture.
Wow. So hunting the elk, you said you get about 4 hunts per year. Are they locals that are doing this, or are people flying up to go shoot an elk? And approximately how much would it cost someone to go through this experience?
Yeah, we have had mostly locals. Did have a gentleman from Texas come and hunt. And I think some of that may be just us getting the word out. So, because our elk are, I tell you what, they're large, and they have some, you know, beautiful racks. Some of them are approaching 400, you know, by like Boone and Crockett standards. But the elk hunts, so that would depend on the bull and the size of the bull. We'll have maybe a smaller bull with a nice, but a sort of an average rack could start at 12 grand. And then a big, one of our just trophy bulls could go for 20 grand.
Wow, exciting. Are they bugling a lot? Do you hear a lot of that classic elk noise, or is it fairly rare?
In the fall, it's nuts. It's really awesome. Our neighbors love it too. They hear that bugle sound. So, you know, starting, you know, end of August through September and into October, we're getting a ton of bugling. Yeah.
Is that when they're rutting?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't heard that, well, you can just Google that and hear an elk bugle. It's sort of a beautiful sound. The bulls have all getting their new antler growth. It's pretty amazing. It's the fastest bone on the growing bone on the planet. It can grow up to an inch a day. Of course, it's covered in velvet now. And then in, you know, mid-August, late August, they'll rub that off and have their hard antlers. We had a bull drop, I'm not sure why, in end of January, he dropped. And typically, they're going to drop March, you know, early April. And this guy right now, he's like, 2 months, his rack is just ginormous. It's huge. So it's fun to see. And now we have had a little problem too with bulls attacking each other. So we just got to be careful with the bull herd.
Amazing. Do you offer any like tours for people that want to come out and see the elk?
Not formally. We'd like to get that up and going, maybe on the website, but we're happy if someone reaches out. You can reach out, I think, either through the website is probably the best way. And we're happy to do a tour for somebody.
Okay. So what is your website? And do you guys also have social media?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, Northern Lights Elk Ranch of Alaska. Same with the website, northernlightselkranchofalaska.com.
Okay. And you're hoping to be at Midtown Market this summer so people can see you there?
Yeah. Midtown Market this summer, or just call us. You can order chickens, turkeys, and elk all online, and then we'll coordinate pickup with you. And if you have any other questions, you know, we'd be happy to talk to people.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Paul, for coming on today's program. I learned a lot, and it's really exciting, and I would love to come out and see your place. I actually never seen an elk in person, so it'd be fun to see.
Oh, yeah, we have to schedule that. We'll get you out here, Ken. That'd be great. And hey, I really appreciate you having me on. This is a great station and a great little interview that you have here. Appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Paul. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Ken. Take care.
Take care.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.